Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Guys, big show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh. Call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, do I need to tell you? All right, I'm going to act like dad. Be careful, okay? Not that you need me to tell you that. I mean, you're obviously going to be careful out there this morning because, like you, I was just on the roadways, and it's nasty and gnarly, and they got problems southbound, and just slow down a little bit right now, okay? Do me a favor. Just ease off just a little bit because it's nasty and mean, and last thing I want to see for you is property damage or any other issue this morning. I know. I preach like that, but let's be safe out there because it is a little ugly on the roads this morning with all the rain and the storms that are in the area, so just be safe. But a lot to get to. A very busy, very interesting day ahead for you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot to chat up with the Atlanta Falcons. A lot to chat up. Did you see college basketball last night? Oh, my gosh. You got to get that. It's unbelievable what happened. Duke and North Carolina going to give us a lot to talk about. We got a lot to chop up with the Braves. And then, of course, we would bury the lead here if we didn't tell you that today Atlanta United is back on the field. How about that? Tonight. I mean, we were just having a parade for Atlanta United. We were having a big rally down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and whatnot, and they were winning the championship. And now, all of a sudden, here, Atlanta United tonight, 10 p.m. kick in Costa Rica. Don't ask me this. I don't know what city they're in Costa Rica, but they landed last night, and Mike Conley and Jason Longshore. Now, later in the program, we're going to try and get, if the phones work out of Costa Rica, and that is not a slam. It's just where they are in Costa Rica. They're not like in the... they're not in the palatial area of Costa Rica where all the resorts are. They're in like the middle of some city in Costa Rica. So if the cell phone towers don't work, don't blame us. But we're going to try and get Jason Longshore to join us later in the program and see what with Atlanta United as they get ready to play tonight. Almost hard to believe. AT, did you have any problem getting in this morning?
No, I did not. Just took my time. There's a lot of water on these streets and highways. I mean, there was... Windy Hill, those of us who live in Cobb County, if you're familiar with the new construction that has finished on Windy Hill.
Wait, they finally finished that?
Yeah, they have. Yeah. But it seems like a roadway at times. And when there's water on as much water as there was this morning on the streets, you just try to take it careful because people go through these curves and they're sharp and water flies into your windshield and you're like, slow down.
Yeah, don't be that dude. Yeah, you know, down. The dude on the truck. Don't be that. You know, zipping at 80 miles an hour and... You know, because you spray it out, and all of a sudden, right. Nobody can see.
And this is what we're to expect for the rest of the weekend. Not the week and weekend.
Let's hope it clears up because we got a Legends football game on Sunday, and more importantly, we got race day. I mean, yeah, how about you, D? I mean, any issues?
Nah, man. Crystal clear ride from the West End. You know, I just jump right on the highway and just move very slowly.
Yeah, that's good for you.
Yeah, it's because he had a truck and he was spraying all the water.
Man, it was like there were a couple of lightning strikes near me last night that were, I mean, shake, rattle, and I mean, the whole house just, I literally physically shook the house. There was one right behind me in the woods, probably not quarter of a mile or something. Bright white flash, and all of a sudden we just held on, and the whole house went. It was like, good Lord of mercy.
I told AT that this morning as we were walking in, I thought someone was literally at my front door because I was like, who's banging on my door? And then I realized it was thundering and lightning, and it was ridiculous last night.
It was ridiculous last night. Ah, man, it is incredible to watch the show last night with the lightning. But then, of course, the bad part of that is all the flooding that could follow and whatnot. So, do be careful out there. So, United is back tonight. What do we expect out of United? See, because that's a great question, because I don't know what to expect out of United. Now, I will admit, and I have before, that I am a huge Miguel Almirón fan. I wish him the best at Newcastle. But to me, he was kind of everything that happened around the team centered around Miguel. Now, Joseph was the MVP, but when Miggy got in, his speed changed everything. Now, how did, you know, PT and Joseph work together? You know, that's been a kind of a discussion that we've been having. It'll be interesting to watch what happens in midfield now with Nagby, back with the team and at least in the good graces, but not really starting at the moment. And how does the attack adjust with Tito being more involved this year? But the biggest thing is you've got a new coach. And so without Tata and now with De Boer, there's going to be stylistic changes. They say that it's not going to be kind of the same. It's not going to be as much, you know, over the top with the long balls and whatnot and trying to skip and stuff. It's going to be more of more tactical in that sense. We'll see, because even some of the people who follow the team say, well, you know, it's going to be more like less than 70 goals. And I'm like, well, this isn't what this team does. They score 70 goals. But they're going to be against Arredondo tonight. I do know that some of the people who follow the team daily, and we're talking about the Doug Robertsons of the world, are saying that, and others are saying that it's possible that we could get jobbed. Well, Michael Parkhurst is on record as saying it's possible we could get jobbed in this game tonight. He's come right out and said it, and said, you know, the referees could really shaft us tonight. Mike Connie has said that the referee is a World Cup referee, but at the same time, look, I don't know what to expect tonight. If it's a 1-1 draw, let's put it this way. I could almost see this. A 1-1 draw tonight, and then they come home next week and play at Kennesaw State, and United beats them 5-1. Okay? They're just a better team. And I think there's a sense on United that they're a pretty good team and that they should be able to handle this Arredondo, but whether they get jobbed a little bit down in Costa Rica tonight, I wouldn't worry about it. Let's not forget that, you know, last year they won the MLS Cup, and I think some fans forget that the opening game last year, United went on the road to Houston and got walloped. The Houston Dynamo beat them 4-0 in the opening game. And all of us are sitting around here going, are we not as good as we thought we were? And so, I again, don't put too much stock in what happens tonight. Just win the game coming up on the weekend or next Thursday night at Kennesaw State, and I think it'll be fine. So there's that. And then, of course, there's Georgia last night. Let's just touch on a couple of the other topics with Georgia. I have seen a lot of things happen in my life. I've never seen that. If you didn't understand what happened with Georgia, so Georgia's down 17 to Mississippi State last night. The Mississippi State's one of their star players, maybe their star, Quindary Weatherspoon, gets fouled and has two foul shots to win the game. They're down by one with a half a second to go. He misses one of the two. Well, he makes the first to tie it, and then for the second for the win, he misses it. But as he misses it, a stuffed animal comes flying out of the crowd at Stegman and suddenly lands on the court, and the officials give a technical foul to the fan, give Mississippi State another foul shot, they make it, and they win. Have you ever seen anything quite like that?
I've seen technicals called on the crowd for various instances, not late in a game like that.
Yeah, not late in the game like that. Hey, and who's dude that threw who's the dude that threw the thing?
We'll never know.
I assume it's a dude. maybe it's, oh, you know, everybody knows. Come on, everybody's got to know.
Well, and that's the question now, because there's some who want to say it was a Mississippi State fan who did it, but they're both Bulldogs. So
yeah, it was a stuffed Bulldog. If it's a Mississippi State fan, oh, that's a problem. That's a serious issue. But I don't think it is, because it was at Georgia. How many Mississippi State fans are there? And why would you throw one at your own guy?
Yeah, during the middle of the week. How many fans are really traveling from Starkville?
No, they're not. So I'm not buying that it's a Mississippi State fan. But so, yeah, so Georgia's going to overtime except this fan. And we got to know who the fan is. Let's put it this way. There are a bunch of, you know, there are two or three or four people right around the fan who know who the fan was, because it was pretty obvious. You know, somebody chucking a stuffed Bulldog onto the court, heaven's sakes. There are a lot of ways to lose a game. Man of mercy, that's one of them. So that happened to Georgia last night amidst a lot of stuff in college basketball, as we touched on some of the headlines this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The other thing is Zion. Now, there's going to be some discussion here about Zion Williamson, and we're going to have it a little bit later in the program, about Zion's future. What happened last night, if you missed it, North Carolina beats Duke, and beats Duke rather handily in Cameron Indoor Stadium, right? They beat him 88-72. And everybody, if you just saw the score, you would go, what in the world happened last night to North Carolina and Duke? But it was Zion Williamson and his blown-out shoe that is not only the story of this game, but the story of the rest of the season.
Slipping and injured is Zion Williamson. Back the other way, a layup for Cam Johnson. And 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is down.
He blew through his shoe.
Yep.
Look at his look at his left shoe. He blew completely through the shoe, and then he started holding his right knee. I mean, his shoe blew apart. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it was amazing, and that's ESPN, obviously. The shoe blows apart. We're 38 seconds into the game. Zion goes down to about the foul line to post up, and his left shoe literally explodes and comes in half. It causes Zion to slip and hurt his knee. And in the process of slipping and hurting his knee, he called a mild knee sprain, he's out for the rest of the game. So North Carolina, again, if you only knew the score that North Carolina went in and won 88-72, you would say, wow, North Carolina must be great, or there's a serious problem on Duke. This was all about Zion Williamson not being able to play after less than a minute because his shoe exploded. Now, Nike's out here trying to issue statements. Puma's taking shots. Puma took a shot at Nike. Did you see that Puma took a shot at Nike?
Yeah, it was like a hit and run. They posted it, and they got called out for it, and they took it down.
Well, why would they take it down?
I don't know. The damage is done.
The damage is done because Puma tweeted at Nike, wouldn't have happened in the Pumas. I mean, he had a defective shoe. And suddenly, Duke's on the ropes. North Carolina's winning. But that's not the question to me. The question to me is a much bigger issue. I think that today the question becomes, should Zion Williamson shut it down? Now, you may say that Duke is going to win the national title. I think you can make a strong case that Zion Williamson should say, I am not going to risk this anymore. I'm going to go to the NBA and goodbye. And I wouldn't blame him one bit. Because I think at this point, he's got to do what is known as a business decision, and he's going to be the number one pick of the draft. And everybody talks about how good R.J. Barrett is, and R.J. Barrett is a really good player. But if R.J. Barrett hurts himself 38 seconds into the game, I have a question for you. Do you think North Carolina wins by 16 at Duke? That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not sure that that's the case. I'm thinking that if R.J. Barrett gets hurt, it's still a ball game. I think Zion Williamson proved last night beyond a shadow of a doubt he's the number one pick by not playing in the game against North Carolina. And as a result, if I'm Zion, I'm having a serious discussion. Now, do I think he's going to shut it down? I don't think so. I mean, if we had to take a poll, do you think Zion's going to shut it down?
I would.
Nah.
I'm not asking you if you would. I'm saying, do you think he will?
I think he will.
And maybe that's a good question we should ask today. Will he or won't he shut it down? I don't, I could go either way. I'm with AT. I would if I'm Zion. I'd shut it down. I'd say, I'm not about to risk it. And not because the shoe's bad. It's just a bad shoe. All right. You have all that. United, you have the Duke, North Carolina thing, that debacle for Zion Williamson. And then the Falcons had a little newser yesterday. What did the new offensive coordinator, Dirk Cutter, have to say about what we could see this fall for the Falcons? That's next.
It's spring training time. Keep it here for all the latest from Florida and our Atlanta Braves.
Catch our exclusive Braves coverage here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John and Hugh on this rainy, wet Thursday. Do be careful out there if you're driving in. A lot to chop up. A lot of big news. We are asking you if you're already at work or you're at home on your Twitter. The first of what will be many questions this morning in regards to Zion Williamson and whether or not he should shut it down. Our poll question of the day is based on whether or not Zion should go straight to the NBA, do not pass go, and do not play for Duke anymore. Think about the people that spent $3,000 or whatever they spent to go to that game last night to see Zion Williamson blow his shoe out.
Well, that wasn't the funniest. I mean, you don't want to call something funny, but President Barack Obama was in the building, and and there's video of him going, his shoe broke. The shoe broke.
The shoe broke. Right, how are we voting on this this morning? AT, now that we've got the poll up here, how are you voting on this? Are you saying yes, he should shut it down, or No reason to overreact here. Should go back to Duke.
Yeah, votes are coming in pretty hot right now. We have 68% of the audience saying no need to overreact, while 32% says yes, think of your future.
I'm asking you how you vote.
Oh, I'd say he needs to go.
Shut it down. Daryl, does he need to stay at Duke to come back, or does he go?
After our deliberations during the break, I'm going to choose shut it down.
Okay, wow. Tanitra, does he come back to Duke, or would you shut it down?
John, we're 3-for-3. I mean, honestly, and granted, we're still waiting to see what the results will be from an MRI, but ultimately speaking, Duke benefits and college basketball benefits if he stays. But I don't know that Zion benefits. And when you're talking about anything that can happen, I mean, it was so freakish. I had to watch it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm thinking Jadeveon Clowney, you know, that last season that he played at South Carolina and how he just kind of coasted through and didn't really play. Well, might want to do something like that.
It's funny because several weeks ago, Scottie Pippen took a lot of heat for saying he should leave Duke. And now after something like that, That's first and foremost on my mind.
Right. That's the way. You know, fair point by Tanitra about we don't know the results of the MRI. And that's true. Having said that, I have a sense that he will come back to Duke. I think he shouldn't. I wouldn't if I were him. Now, that's presuming, of course, that the MRI is clear and there's no real problem with any. I think at this point I would say, hey, how important is it for me to win a national title? And because now the whole risk factor comes into play in your mind. Because there's got to be somebody in his family going, hey, how much money are we talking about here? You know, I mean, really? How much cash are we talking about? All right, so that's one thing we got going on. But Tanitra's here because we want to talk to her about what she saw yesterday with the Atlanta Falcons. Let's begin with Dan Quinn. You were at the event, Tanitra, at the news conference yesterday. You know, not a whole lot was said. You know, it was kind of generalities. The three new coordinators, right? Ben Kotwicka with special teams, Dirk Koetter with the offense, and now Dan Quinn as the defensive coordinator and, of course, the head coach. And Coach Quinn was asked, among other things, first off, why all the changes of coaches?
Offensively, our ability to have more balance in the run game. Defensively, our ability to, you know, play in a more physical style. At the end, I just felt like our compass was off, and the best and surest way right now is with change.
All right, so the compass was off, Tanitra. Before we get into this directly, was there a sense among the media yesterday that that there was, not excitement in the air, I would say? I mean, what was, you know, was there anticipation of the new coordinators? You and I both been there where we're kind of excited about what they're going to say, or was there just a quizzical air? I mean, you could kind of feel the room.
Yeah, John, I tell you, it's almost like you were in my head last night as I was just kind of playing through the sound in my head. I was saying, you know, there was a palpable sense of, there wasn't an excitement. I kind of walked away thinking, well, first of all, it was kind of like a deciphering Dan situation where not a lot was said, honestly.
You know, that's kind of well put, deciphering Dan.
Yeah, a lot was said in 25 to 30 minutes that we were there. But ultimately, John, you put the nail on the head, even without being there, that there was just not a sense of excitement or a sense of how will this really change sort of the trajectory of the season for 2019 versus where we were in 2018. Now, I think one of the things that was interesting in sort of the commentary, and if you listen to all three interviews, if you will, you'll kind of hear this as a central theme. You've got four coordinators. I mean, you have four former head coaches and/or coordinators on your staff.
Right.
So that's really, I mean, we knew that there was pressure going into this season, but unless you have another slew of injuries, plethora of injuries that hit you in the first couple of weeks of the season as it did in 2018, the bar has been set so very high when you have four former coordinators and head coaches and those who've been here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I just want to say one thing. I think the most compelling, and, you know, John, I don't know if you feel the same, but of the three individuals who hit the podium yesterday, I think more of the focus and more of the energy was on Dirk Koetter and what he had to say. And even he made this comment about Matt Ryan, just in terms of Matt having, you know, Mike Mularkey coming back and Dirk Koetter coming back and all the progression that he's seen in Matt Ryan over the years. I just think that the bar is raised very, very high. And yet there was a palpable pause in the media's sort of reception of what took place yesterday.
All right, and one more from Dan Quinn. Now, of course, Coach Quinn was the defensive coordinator. As Danedra's talking about, you've got four former head coaches on this. Well, one current head coach in Dan Quinn and three former head coaches, two of which coached at Tampa. But Mike Mularkey, former Falcons head coach, of course, and I mean Titans head coach. And then you have head coaches from Tampa and Dirk Cutter and Raheem Morris. And then, of course, a former Falcons offense coordinator, Greg Knapp, who's back. I mean, this staff has oodles and oodles and oodles of experience. We get that, and that's what they're trying to do. But meshing it all together, that'll be kind of an interesting thing. All right, so DQ takes back over the defense, and this is what he said about becoming defensive.
I think we're looking for real consistency, you know, and there was definitely times I thought during the 17 season that, you know, we improved as a defense. And then I thought, you know, when you take, how's the saying go, two steps forward, one step back. And so I wanted to make sure, you know, if I could have an impact and an influence on the defense and really play to a style that was true to how I'd like to look, I should, you know, be the one making the calls and going through that. So that's really where the decision came from. I'm excited to do that. I've got obviously good knowledge and experience with the players here, so that's a big advantage to know how to feature some of their strengths. And so to add guys back into the mix like Kiki and Rico, who have such big roles on our team, that's a big piece of it.
Well, you know, this answer kind of confused me a little bit, Tanitra, and here's why. I mean, they've made moves on defense already. They've cut three players, right? And so, you know, Ben Garland is gone, and Poole's gone, and Rocky Alford's gone. And Brooks Reed. Check that. I mean, they've got, if you count Ben Garland as a defender, you've got four gone. So, I mean, he's not really, but he's a swing player. Dan kind of out there, Dan Quinn's saying, you know, well, you know, I got to put my stamp on it, or however he said, you know, he was going to do. Why wouldn't you be putting your stamp on it? You have Mark Emanuel as your handpicked guy. How are you not running the defense? Explain this to me. Why would it suddenly I could take over the – you're the head coach. You can take over the defense whatever you want. Did he take over the defense at the Super Bowl year when he stripped Richard Smith of the duties?
And so that's what my comment was going to be. Well, now he can say when I took back the play calling duties, we went to the Super Bowl. When I was the play caller in Seattle, we went to the Super Bowl. So maybe, you know, it's time to make that shift. But it does beg the question of, but it was your guy in that position.
Right. So, wasn't he just doing what you said he should do? I mean, because we all assumed, we loved Mark Emanuel, but didn't we all assume that Mark Emanuel was just doing his bidding?
Yeah, absolutely.
In a manner of speaking. And
sure, I don't want that to
reflect badly on Mark Juan, but that Mark Juan was running his defense doing exactly what Dan Quinn wanted him to do.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do think that what will be interesting to see is the other comment that Coach Quinn made was in terms of knowing the players. And you just mentioned, well, many of those players are gone. So as those new players kind of come in, you know, what's going to be the how long is it going to take you to gel with them? What's that going to look like in terms of also speaking of the brotherhood? So that's supposed to be, you know, sort of their mantra.
We kind of lost that, you know?
Yeah, and so that's that compass that I think Coach Quinn was talking about in the beginning of the press conference. But what I thought about, and sometimes you kind of have these thoughts after the fact, is, but I will ask that question again. You know, Dirk Cutter was talking about that same thing, that whole liking the mantra and sort of liking the vision of what Dan Quinn has done. And I wanted to say, I'd like to ask at some point during our next opportunity, our media availability, what's the vision for 2019?
Yeah, I'd like to know too. What is the vision? Because right now the vision is just, well, let's make all these changes and see what happens. I mean, it's like, okay, well, we're under the gun. We got to make the playoffs. Let's bring in a bunch of guys. Let's bring in some new players. But I'm curious to see what happens with this with the defensive change. Now, I know that all of us are seeing players leave. The question to me is, what do they bring in? You know, who is going to join this team? And how do you get back? Because you mentioned it. We don't talk about this enough. Whatever the brotherhood was during the Super Bowl year, that sense of brotherhood, they don't speak about it anymore. The amount of ping pong played in the locker room, that may seem like a really stupid thing to you, but they used to have three tables. They played tons of ping pong. There was a sense of real community inside that team. And now, I don't sense that at all. Yeah. And not that there's division.
No, not at all.
It's just not unity.
Right, because what I will say, and I actually mentioned this to Coach Quinn in one of the last press conferences at the end of the year, I was impressed with the fact that it was not a negative, not a down sort of locker room to go into, even when they went on, even when they were in the midst of the losing streak. So it still remained very positive, and they were still very focused on ending the season on a strong note. I'm just very interested to see exactly what that defined vision is as it relates to the Brotherhood is for 2019.
Yeah, well, we all know exactly, don't we, what the Falcons have to do this year. They have to make the playoffs. It's really, it's that is the line. You know, we sit here, well, they got to win 10. Well, it doesn't matter if they win. If they go 10-6 and miss the playoffs, that's not probably good. I don't know that that's good enough. You've got to get into the postseason. Rather you were 8-8 and in the postseason than 12-4 and not. You know, I mean, that's probably not going to happen to be 12-4 and not, but it could, I guess. Lose a weird tiebreaker in a wild card situation. Well, again, a lot was said and not much was said yesterday. Thanks to Tanitra Batiste for filling that out for us. We mentioned a huge weekend ahead. NBA back tonight. Hawks Friday and Saturday. Here we go. It's the stretch run for the NBA. Who's going to step up and be in the title series? Kind of an interesting question. Could Mike Budenholzer actually leave the Hawks and go to the NBA championship? Oh, my. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now back to more John and Hugh.
And you need to listen on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hopefully you're nice and safe out there on this wet, nasty kind of Thursday. A lot to get to in the program today, as mentioned, and Hugh and I will be chopping up a lot of different things, including our question about whether or not Zion Williamson should shut it down, and that's going to be a big talker throughout the program. We'll have more and break down the Falcons ahead of the United season opener tonight. Again, 10 o'clock this evening. I know it's a late night start. I get that. 10 o'clock this evening against Arredondo down in Costa Rica, and in the 8 o'clock hour, Jason Longshore. Hopefully, if the cell phone gods are kind, will join us live from Costa Rica during the 8 o'clock hour this morning, and we'll get a look ahead to what he and Mike Conley will see on the field tonight as we get our first look ever at PT Martinez and Joseph Martinez playing alongside each other in the opening game for the Five Stripes this evening. Now, having said that, in and amongst the fact that it's race week, and I think the weather forecast for this weekend for the Legends game at Georgia State Stadium, the home opener against Birmingham, and for the race on Sunday, I think it's starting to look like it might be okay, which we can only hope that it will. How it affects race week before then with this winter storm that's going through is a different story. And considering we only get the one race a year, oh, man, you know, I feel for the folks down at the Motor Speedway trying to get all those things in this week. So if you're down at the Motor Speedway, I'm with you. I understand that the frustrations that you must be going through. A lot of quick dry going on that track over the next couple of days, that's for sure. The NBA is back tonight. The Hawks are at home tomorrow night against the Pistons. And then they are at home on Saturday night as well against the Phoenix Suns. 24 games to go for the Atlanta Hawks. Now, obviously, the Hawks are not involved in the playoff picture. That goes well. I would think. But, you know, there are a number of teams that are. There's a huge game tonight in Milwaukee between the Celtics and the Bucks to kick off kind of the second half, air quotes, as we get down to it. Celtics and Bucks tonight in Milwaukee, an 8 o'clock Eastern time start as they get ready for the second half of the season. And so let's kind of look at the second half of the season and what is in store potentially for the NBA in season. And now the idea that Mike Budenholzer could be in the NBA Finals. The Celtics are a team that has been a little disappointing. They're in fourth place in the East. Milwaukee in first place, 43-14 under Coach Bud. 43-14 under Coach Bud.
Doesn't it make you sick? Doesn't it make you sick as a Hawks fan?
But he's got better talent.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That's the thing that he has better talent here. Well, there, and you know, having the Greek Freak, it don't hurt. That don't hurt at all. That does not hurt at all.
And he and Middleton are quite a pair. I mean, this is a good basketball team. So I don't know. I mean, I look at it because AT, you asked me at one point, you know, yesterday when we were saying this, you go, who did you pick at the beginning of the year to be in the finals? I don't remember who I picked. Honestly, I'm not trying to dodge. I'd own up to whatever pick I made.
I would
you're dodging.
I think I picked Golden State.
I think I tried to go back and look through my notes to see if I kept the recap, and unfortunately that particular day I deleted it for some reason. But I would say you probably picked from any team, certainly in the East, from Boston or Toronto, and you probably had Golden State in the West.
Yeah, I think it's, to me, I think it's Golden State in the West, because Golden State starts the end push, post-All-Star push, let's put it that way, Hugh. Two games ahead of Denver, and Denver's played really good basketball. Then you have Oklahoma City, Portland, Houston, Utah, and San Antonio. At the moment, the Lakers and Clippers are not involved in the playoffs. Well, maybe the Clippers are. The Lakers aren't. But in the East, the Bucks are a game ahead of Toronto, and then you have Indiana, Boston, and Philadelphia. Honestly, Hugh, with the changes that the Philadelphia 76ers have made, it wouldn't surprise me if they got hot in the playoffs. With the changes that the Sixers have made, some people think that might be the favorites going forward. Toronto's very good. Milwaukee's very good. Indiana's quietly very good, even without Victor Oladipo. I don't know how much that'll hurt them eventually. And then, of course, Boston's got tons of talent. So
yeah,
wouldn't shock me if any of those teams came out of the East.
Yeah, but you know, it was funny. I was watching a television show yesterday. It was out of Philly. They were talking about right now, as presently constructed, that if the playoffs started yesterday, that the Sixers would have to play the Boston Celtics. I don't think that's a matchup that they're really too keen about. It just felt that way. So, yeah, it's one of those things where it looks like the Sixers could make some noise this year in the playoffs.
Well, only one game separates Indiana in third from Philadelphia in fifth. So, I mean, with 20-some-odd games to go, I mean, anything can happen. I mean, Philadelphia could get hot enough that if Milwaukee or Toronto slip, they could end up, you know, the number two seed. So it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward here. But I think the East is, to me, a battle. In the West, you got Golden State. I just mentioned this. Does anybody, AT, you can jump in. You're kind of an NBA guy here. Does anybody see Denver, Oklahoma City, Portland? I mean, James Harden at Houston with a one-man team, the Hero Ball. Does anybody see anybody pushing Golden State? Anybody?
They'll push them. Can they beat them in a seven-game series? I don't think so. Here's the thing you've got to be aware of starting tonight, if not tomorrow night. There will be an increase in minutes for DeMarcus Cousins. If you remember, he tore his Achilles a year ago, and they've worked him back slowly, and he returned maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the All-Star break. Steve Kerr said on yesterday they're going to increase his minutes. So at some point in time, you're going to have all five of those All-Stars on the court for a considerable amount of time.
And then it might just be over. It might just be done. So I'm going to say Golden State now in the West like you are. In the East, Hugh, I don't know.
It's a potpourri. It's up in the
air.
Out of the East, it's up in the air. I mean, bottom line, it's up in the air. As far as who's coming out of the East, I think that the heavy favorite probably would be the Sixers, because at first, like at the beginning of the season, we all thought it probably would be the Boston Celtics, and you know what they were getting back, what they didn't have in the playoffs last year. So, I would probably say right now it's probably the Sixers.
Well, I just don't think Indiana without Oladipo is going to be able to go anywhere in the playoffs. I just think that they've had a great year with Victor Oladipo. It's a different story. I'm going to, at this point, and this is not an anti-Bud thing, but I think I'm going to take Toronto until otherwise, because I just think Kawhi is the kind of guy that when he gets into the postseason, it kind of fits who he is. So I'll go with Golden State and Toronto at the moment. And that would be,
I would probably go with Milwaukee. If we're going to do that, I'd probably go with Milwaukee for the simple fact that Coach Bud now has some talent around him. And I think he's a pretty decent coach. I think he's pretty, not probably, you know, a lot of people probably say he doesn't have a lot of personality, but I think he's a decent coach.
A ton to talk about, as mentioned today. We're going to get back in, Hugh and I'll get back into the Falcons discussion a little bit later on, the Zion discussion as to whether or not he should shut it down. And next up, Braves are reporting. Here we go. Which pitchers need to step up for the Braves this year, presuming that they don't make any more additions to their staff? We're going to discuss it, and we want you to discuss it with us. That's next with John and Hugh on this rainy Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.